Right, so hello and a warm welcome to our first podcast in our What Property series of PCS Pods. I'm Kate Forsdyke and I'm a Director of PCS Legal, and today I'm joined by Jason Mayling from Housing 21, who's going to answer some of our questions regarding the pros and cons of retirement properties. So hi Jason, thanks for coming along today.
Thank you.
So this might seem like an obvious question, but I bet it's a question that gets asked a lot. So who's eligible to buy a retirement property in the UK?
So with us at Housing 21, we offer two different types of products. You've got your retirement living and then you've got your extra care products. So with your retirement living, it's anyone over the age of 55 is eligible, but priority is usually given to people over 65. So if you've got two people who are going for the same property on the same development, priority is usually given to those who are slightly
to the older people. Okay.
With extra care, it is slightly different. So if you're over 55, you are eligible, but you must have a care need.
Okay.
But if you're over 65, then you can apply and you'll be accepted if you're then future proofing.
Right.
So that's the two different levels.
Okay, that's interesting. So what do you think are the benefits of buying a retirement property?
So apart from the obvious benefit of retaining an equity share in a property, so obviously by buying a property, you retain that equity share, and the equity share does increase in value with market value.
Okay.
So you're always earning money off of the...
You're still on the property ladder, effectively.
Exactly. But in addition to that, so with the two products that we offer, where you've got retirement living, a lot of people come to us because they're either in a big house that is either unsuitable for them or they have security concerns. So with these, there's a almost like a barrier between the outside world and their front door, which is the court space in itself. So there's only one way in, one way out.
Okay.
That is staffed by a local housing manager on usually sort of 9 till 5 on weekdays, and then a more of a skeleton service on the weekends. Residents still have normal access as if you was in a normal block of flats.
Okay.
But it's usually by a fob system.
Yeah.
There's all residents get a 24-hour alarm system, so that can usually be in pendant form. So if they have a fall or something like that, they can press the pendant and somebody will come and see to them to make sure they're all right. They have the security of the development itself. You've got the privacy of their own front door. So once you get into the court, it's exactly the same as a private block of flats.
Okay.
Where you come into a communal area and then you've got your own front door, which leads into your own self-contained flat.
Yeah.
You've got communal lounge areas. So these are places where people can socialise. They've got kitchenettes and stuff where you can make a cup of tea. Some residents hold like bridge evenings and stuff like that, or they have like a book club.
And it's a bit more social.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so you've got that in social environment as well. Because what we've found a lot is that we deal with a lot of people who haven't got necessarily a care issue or anything like that, but they do suffer from more loneliness and being on, especially if they've had their partner with them for 60 years, their family has all moved away.
Yeah.
Their spouses sadly passed on, and now they're all on their own. They suffer a little bit with just being on their own and loneliness.
Yeah.
So they move into our courts, and then they then start forging new friendships with people, which I think is
critical. That's really good. Really good.
Also, you've got landscape gardens, which are all paid for by the service charge, and they're managed so people can go and sit out there, especially on nice days like today. You can go and sit in the garden with a cup of coffee, read a book or whatever, and just sit in the garden space, which is also nice, which you wouldn't get in more of your normal apartment blocks. And one thing that's critical to us is that every resident is allowed to bring their pet.
Oh, lovely.
So again, with flats, the general consensus is that pets aren't allowed. With ours, they can. So cats, dogs, budgies, whatever it may be, and they can move in with them. So that's the retirement.
Oh, I like that idea. Yeah, I like that idea a lot.
With our extra care, obviously, as I say, we do operate the differences. So with the extra care, you get exactly the same as you do with the retirement, but you do have some differences in regards to that. So you've got the on-site care team.
Okay.
So they can deliver individual tailor-made care services to the residents. which is served at homes within the confines of their apartment, rather than having to go into like a surgery or anything like that.
Yeah.
Care staff are there and they can provide the care behind their door. But what it also allows is allows couples to stay together. So you might have, like with my grandparents, my nan was sadly diagnosed with dementia just before lockdown. So she's getting slightly worse, but my granddad's a key carer, and they will be looking to move into one of these units within the next couple of years, really.
Yeah.
But what it does is where my nan, where usually the person who's got dementia may need to move into a care home, where then you're splitting that bond. So not only are they moving into a new place they don't recognise, they're also being parted from their life partner, which can be really upsetting.
Really sad
for them. But by coming into ours, they get the care that they need for the dementia, but the couple can stay together. So my granddad would be able to stay with my nan. They both move in. My nan gets the care that she needs, and my granddad can then socialise with the rest of the people.
And
in
it
the
helps
court.
Him as well.
Of course, yeah, that's additional help services. Yeah. So that's really critical, really, to what we do. Again, they've all got the lounge areas, but with the extra care sites, we also have bistros. So restaurant areas inside, when they usually operate a menu, a daily menu, and it's usually Monday to Saturdays, and people can go down and have some food or a coffee and sort of do that socialising, or bring family members over. Like if someone's grandchild wants to come along, they could just go and meet in a bistro and have a bite to eat, which is always quite nice.
Sounds great, yeah.
Obviously got a landscape garden, it's got buggy stores.
Oh, right, yeah.
Which a lot of old people like to sort of come in and sort of zoom around on their buggy stores. But we also have hair salons as well, so you don't have to have a hairdresser come in.
Oh, lovely, yeah.
And they're all local people as well, so it's all local companies that come in and provide that. And you've also got guest rooms, so if you had family members coming from far away, they can, instead of having to stay in the apartment with their mum, dad, grandparents, whatever, they can actually stay in one of the guest rooms, and they're around about £25 a night. They're all en suite, and they're really nice rooms. They're really decorated really well. So
that sounds great. So can anybody buy a retirement property, or is it the person who's going to be living there have to be the actual owner of it?
So so the person who's buying it has to be the main resident in the property.
Okay.
So you can't buy it on behalf of someone else.
No, okay. Do you think it would be better to either buy or rent a retirement property?
So it really depends, because especially with us, we are governed by, because we do mainly shared ownership, we're governed by the local authority.
Okay.
And the local authority determined that all renters must have a local connection, so they must live in the local area.
Right.
But if you're buying the property, then you can come from outside that local area. So it gives you that freedom of being able to pick and choose where you live rather than having to live where you are. That's the plus point of buying. And obviously with the plus point of buying is you're, again, retaining that equity within the property.
Of course.
So if you're buying it at the earlier ages that we allow, so 55, 60, you would expect a good maybe 20 years in that property.
Yeah,
so
of course.
By the time you bought it, by the time it comes to selling the property, it would have increased in value.
Brilliant. Okay, so what do you think are the disadvantages of buying a retirement property?
So the disadvantages can mainly be around the resale process.
Yes.
And that's mainly because you can only sell it to somebody who's over 55, then you are having a much smaller pool of people.
Yes, of course.
That I would say is the biggest downside to retirement living properties is you have got a smaller base of people to sell to.
Okay. So do all retirement properties have a service charge liability attached to them?
Yes.
They do.
So because of all the different services that I've obviously explained that are within the courts themselves, they need to be paid for.
Yeah, of course.
So the amount of the service charge will always depend on the amount of provisions that are provided.
Yeah, I suppose what facilities are there and so on.
Exactly. The more stuff that is going on, and the more people that work there, so the more care staff and the more on-site helpers and stuff like that, and as you say, the facilities that are on offer, the more it's actually going to cost per month. Yeah. So it is important for people to understand what the service charge is and what the scope is for increases per annum.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So can there be any other occupiers at the property, i.e. can sort of children or grandchildren live at the property, or do they have to be over the retirement age?
So everybody needs to be at or near the retirement age. We have had it before where people, where the children have moved in, sort of like a son or something like that, but they would have been in their 50s. They might not be, quite be 50, but 55 rather, but they should be getting there, kind of thing. So it's just unfortunately, if the main resident passed away, the person who then is living in the property would need to still meet the general age parameters of the development. Because what you wouldn't want to happen is that lots of people move in with their grandchildren who are in their 30s, all of those people pass on, and then all of a sudden you've got these retirement living properties with 40-year-olds living in. And 40 is definitely a lot younger than it used to be.
Even 55 is maybe, so we touched on it earlier, so retirement properties are generally quite hard to, or more difficult to sell than normal properties, really. So we've kind of covered that one off. So could you get a mortgage or an equity release mortgage on a retirement property?
So most mortgage lenders will lend up to the age of 70.
Okay.
So if you're at the bottom end of the age parameter and you're at 55 and you're in employment, then there would be lenders that would lend to you for a 15-year mortgage term. So obviously you would have to speak to the lender about how much deposit they would need to put down, and then they would do all the normal checks. But I've even got a mortgage until my 70th birthday, just because it was made the monthly repayments a little bit cheaper.
So that keeps increasing as well, doesn't it?
No, exactly. in regards to mortgages, you would need to speak to the lenders, but that is possible. But obviously, as soon as you get close to 70, then it's going to be a little bit more tricky. In regards to equity release, they're also available on retirement properties, but you do need to speak to the individual lender and the company that you're buying.
So there's no restrictions on anything on lending on those sorts of properties. So we did touch on it before. So retirement properties do increase in value. Is it the same as if you did own a normal flat or freehold property? Do they generally increase at the same rate?
They will increase by the same rate. The only difference is that all of the properties that you buy, especially if you're going through a housing association like mine that provides retirement living and extra care properties, the properties will be RICS surveyed. So that's the Royal Institute for Chartered Surveyors. They will do an actual proper survey rather than an estate agent who does a market appraisal and tells you what you should be able to get for your property. The RICS surveyors will tell you what your property is actually worth. You would have bought the property at RICS price, and you'll sell it at RICS price. So there would be no inflation through general appetite in regards to what an estate agent might do. They might say, well, most properties sell around here for 300,000, so we'll put yours on for 325 and see how we go. If the property's worth 300, it will sell for 300.
Yep, no, that makes sense. And lastly, have you got any other tips or helpful information for somebody who might be looking to buy a retirement property?
Yes, so the most important thing is that the person who's buying and their family are happy with the location of the scheme and the services that it provides. Also making sure that you're fully aware of the charges. With housing associations that provide the retirement living, it's very transparent what the charges are. And we do lay out everything in regards to what the service charge is, what you're paying for, and what the resale costs are. When you're dealing with more of the private side, they can always look a little bit better on the outside, because the service charges, they say, might be frozen for 5 years, so you're not paying anymore. But where they make their money back is through the resale process.
Okay.
Some will charge up to 30% of the sale price.
Right.
So it's making sure you're fully aware.
So it's well worth doing your homework then before you start going through the process.
And one of the last points is really that retirement properties are usually the last purchase or the last move most people will make.
Yeah.
So it's making sure they choose the best placed property for them, not just for the current situation, but also for the future.
Well, you said as well, you could be living there for 15, 20 years. So what suits you at that time, you need to make sure it will suit you for the rest of your life, really. It is quite a big move, really. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. You've definitely given us some helpful information about retirement properties and what's involved. So thanks, Jason.
No worries. Thank you for your time.